Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's around as well. Lots to get to today. You know, a lot of people that are doing radio in the city, Joe, sports radio in the city, you know what they're doing? You know what they're leading their show off with today?
Astros.
Yeah, Astros.
Maybe WNBA.
Maybe Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
Maybe the offense. Maybe Yordan hitting another majestic home run. Maybe the kid Bryce Matthews going 4-11 to the gas pump. Maybe double dong Altuve.
Untenable lineups,
which that's what people might be doing. I'm tempted to lead Amanda Betula and Wes Wilson, though. Very tempted. That's all anybody's talking about today.
In your world.
It's all anybody's talking about today. We talked about this as a junkie the other day.
We did, yeah.
The rumors are true, Joe.
Oh, really?
Amanda Betula and Wes Wilson have had a joint IG press release.
Wow.
Hard launching a relationship.
That's big.
I do not know this, man.
There's so many things.
We didn't do that when it was Jeremy and Joe. We didn't hard launch our show on IG.
West is now dating Amanda, who recently divorced Kyle,
okay,
who's friends with West, who Amanda and Sierra are really tight. Sierra used to date West. Like, they lay in bed talking about, like, their guys and their life. And now, I mean, could you imagine what Sierra's feeling today? Now that her ex-boyfriend and her BFF are now hard launching a relationship?
Probably not great.
I feel for her.
You do? Yeah, you're feeling.
I feel for her.
Feeling hard.
I really do.
Sure.
I don't feel great for Sierra today. You never know. Sometimes
never
we
know.
Lead WNBA. I don't know if Summer House survives this.
Oh, you think it'll ruin the show?
I mean, might need a new cast of characters.
You think you're
putting Sierra and Amanda Betula under the same roof?
Probably not.
You think you're putting Kyle and West under the same roof?
I mean, it'd be drama-filled.
Yeah, but will they do it? Everybody's got a price for the $1 million
That's
man.
True.
Everybody's got a price for Andy Cohen. Also, our sweat of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Has the match begun?
No, it starts at 4 o'clock.
4?
Yeah.
Oh, we got time.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
I was like rushing up here to make the bet. I didn't realize it started at 4.
I think it was 4.
No, I see the time now. Yeah. I was unaware of it, though. I thought it started at 3. I was ready to watch some football. I was ready to watch some Congo and Jamaica
some
soccer.
Football.
When it was last, I mean, have you ever watched the Republic of Congo play soccer?
No.
Have you ever watched Jamaica play soccer?
Probably.
Never. Today's the first.
I'm sure Jamaica's played USA in the World Cup at some point that I've watched. But
oh, CONCACAF for sure.
Yeah, so maybe once.
Jamaica's in CONCACAF, right?
Ryan?
Probably.
Get Glenn Davis on the
Soccer
horn.
Matters.
Now, I'm pretty sure Jamaica's in the CONCACAF. And you're right. I think I have seen America and Jamaica in the CONCACAF.
So, we know ball.
Maybe even in the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm not as confident. I went to the Gold Cup where Argentina beat America in the World Cup final, or the Gold Cup final at NRG.
Oh, really?
When Messi made that free kick goal from just the top of the box.
Sure.
Just outside of it. It was unbelievable. Majestic goal.
Sounds like it was wonderful.
The majesty of that Messi goal was probably equal to the majesty of Yordan Alvarez's home run yesterday, which Astros win a baseball game. So we're keeping our eye out on Republic of Congo and Jamaica, all right? Kickoff is at 4.
Yep.
We're going to have our eye on that. That's our sweat of the day, which, by the way, if you want to tell us, T-A-I-L, tell, if you want to tell us, then you can. We're on Congo first half money line.
Yes,
and we're on full time draw.
Correct.
That's what we're on, and the odds on this are pretty good. Congo to lead in the first half is +160. To draw full time is +220.
That's good.
And we also parlayed those two because we're junkies here,
big time junkies,
for a total of +1300.
Look, we win that parlay.
We are -2 units though.
Yeah, but we're swimming in units.
Yeah, sure.
Or you are.
I get uncomfortable when people ask me the size of the bet that we make, or that I've made in the past. I got a buddy who's like, "What's your unit size?" I'm like, "Chill out, bro."
Is this
you don't need
like
to know that
percentage of your bank account is
supposed
a rule?
To be.
Yeah,
I don't really do it that way.
Which, like, a percentage of zero for me is still zero, so I can do that.
I have a specific dollar amount I call a unit.
That's fine.
But it is supposed to be a percentage of your.
It's
bank
whatever
account.
You want it to be.
Yeah. So we're on that today. If you want to follow along, you want
$1 million a unit. Jeremy Branham.
Well, I can't afford that. I work in radio.
The Coop money.
We know that the unit size is pretty small.
Yeah.
We do know that.
Small units.
Astros win a baseball game yesterday, though. There's so many things you could lead with. You could lead with the Astros' offense is, like, legit. Thank you, pitching coaches. Cintron and Snicker, not a great look for you. You could lead with Yordan Alvarez going deep again. He looks like he's the real deal. He looks so sluggish, that Yordan.
Sluggish.
I tell you, Jeff Passan, he looks so sluggish. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that Passan called him sluggish because I do think Yordan's the kind of guy that flips the switch when he wants to.
Yeah.
And maybe he's got something to prove this year.
A little bit, and it looks like he's going to prove it because he's swinging the bat incredibly well to start the season.
Swinging a big bat.
Every single at bat, plate appearance has been good, basically. He's not swinging and missing at bad stuff, and then when he's making contact, he's just hitting rockets all over the place. It's everything you want Yordan Alvarez to be. You know, that's why before the season, you know, The Athletic, ESPN, both having people that said he was going to hit 40-plus home runs this year. This looks like a guy who might hit 40 home runs this year for the first time in his career. If he stays healthy, like he is,
which is a huge
eyeballing everything right now. It's incredible.
I will say this about Yordan though: when Yordan isn't hurt, he's pretty healthy.
That's a great point.
When Yordan's not, he's pretty healthy. Whenever he's not hurt,
mm-hmm.
That's something that you know some people try to teach you in the offseason. Be like, hey guys, you know, whenever Yordan's not hurt, he's actually pretty healthy.
It's true.
It's the kind of beat reporting you get around some parts of the city. But anyways, we begin with Lance McCullers, though. You could talk about Double Dong Altuve, and we'll do that here in a second as well. But Lance McCullers turning back the clock yesterday. It was weird because it was vintage McCullers, but it was also like new look Lance McCullers, like a combination of the two in the best possible way. But goes seven innings, allows one run, faced the minimum through six. Oh, my goodness. Where did that come from? Hello, Lance McCullers.
Yeah, it was his longest start since, what, 2022?
At the Trop.
And
in his hometown.
He was phenomenal. I don't think you could have asked for a better Lance McCullers start in last night's game. It was way above expectations. And we knew, like the numbers in spring, they look good. But as we know, you take spring training with a grain of salt. But he was dealing last night, getting everything he wanted. The strikeout pitch was phenomenal. When there was guys on base getting double plays, great plays by Carlos Correa behind him, of course. But that was the best we've seen Lance McCullers look in a very, very, very long time.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And it was different than, and this is why I say like new Lance McCullers, because it was like a vintage line, right? Although he didn't really have, you know, the command was pretty good, which you didn't have that in the past. And this was the new Lance McCullers. Like back in the day, hunting strikeouts, snapdragon, but it led to a lot of pitches. It led to a lot of walks. It led to a lack of command because it's harder to command pitches that you're snapping across the strike zone with a 3,200 RPM. All of that. Like, it's difficult. Yesterday, Lance McCullers was pounding the zone. Like, you go look at the pitch counts. Look at his pitch count. He lasted through seven. Like,
he never does that.
He made the decision for Joe Espada. And yes, the bullpen's not in great position right now. But he made it an easy decision for Joe Espada to bring him back out for the seventh. I thought he was going to yank him after six,
mm-hmm.
because you want him feeling good going into the next start, right? Like, the last thing you want to do as a manager is pull him a little bit too late, and then like they lose that confidence of what was a very good start. But it didn't matter yesterday. And Lance got into a little bit of trouble the seventh. He had to double down the line from Story. Willie Abreu, the one that got away, the ground rule double. So like he got into some hard contact, but he stayed in the game, strikes out Yoshida to end his outing. Awesome. But the thing that I would – and look, we've talked about the stuff in spring training.
It's been good.
Like, this is why I don't get caught up in the statistics, but if you show me, oh, velo's up a mile or two, it's up a tick, okay. Oh, the spin's up a tick, oh, okay. That's the kind of stuff that catches my eye in the spring, not that he has a minuscule ERA. I think that's stupid. But Lance McCullers, like – and look, in the offseason, like Chris yesterday was very gentlemanly-like and brought up a take that I had on January 6th, I think it was, that, hey, here's my hot take for the season. I think Lance McCullers is going to be DFA'd and not make the opening day roster. What a jabroni that guy is. But I also have been saying since spring training that I feel a lot better about Lance now, this was a couple weeks ago, than I did in the offseason because of what we were seeing with velo, with movement, stuff like that. But what I was most encouraged by was the command, putting himself like in these 1-2 counts, these 0-1 counts, pounding the strike zone, getting ahead early, That's the new look part of Lance McCullers that really he hasn't shown a whole lot in his career because he's always hunting strikeouts. He's kind of turning into a different type of pitcher here post all these arm surgeries.
Which about time, kind of. But he's also been hurt, and was it ever going to develop? And at least for one night, it did. He threw only four sweepers in last night's game. Only 7 four-seam fastballs in last night's game. So the approach is just – it's totally different than what we've seen in the past. I mean, he really relied on his sinker and his cutter in last night's game. And you're right, the command is just something we don't see. Because even in some of Lance McCullers' really positive starts last season, he's still only going 4 innings because the pitch count gets out of control. To have that command that he had last night, I mean, it's been years and years since we've seen him have that level of command for an entire start.
I don't think we've ever seen it.
Probably not. Like, honestly.
Not as much as he was pounding the zone.
No, that might have been one of his best starts of his career, honestly, last night.
Pump the brakes.
No, in terms of
command perspective.
Yeah.
From a command perspective, it was really good. And you could tell that's the mindset, too. It's like, we're going to... And look, he still had 4 walks. But the counts that he was ahead of, getting to pitch into the 7th inning, I thought was... he had 1 walk. I don't know why I said 4. He had 4 hits. For some reason, that was the spring training numbers that Pro Baseball Reference popped up. It showed 8 innings, 4 walks. I don't know why I thought that. He only had 1 walk yesterday, Lance McCullers. Give up 4 hits. So, thumbs up.
I mean,
thumbs up, Lance.
As thumbs up as you can get. It was phenomenal from Lance McCullers.
Phenomenal.
He was the best we've seen. And he's been the best starter of the season so far now.
Yeah.
I mean, no, low bar. Low bar.
That's
but
such
through,
clickbait right there.
No, but like through 5 starts.
He's
like,
the best starter for the Astros.
But through 5 starts, you've had two good starters.
Really one.
Lance.
Really one good start through 5.
Hunter Brown, because he went 4 2/3?
Yeah. Can it be a good start if you don't get out of the 5th?
No.
No,
probably
not.
I don't think it can.
No, it's not. He didn't kill you. He didn't hurt you.
Right.
But it wasn't a good start. No. No, no, no. But he's not the best pitcher on the Astros.
No, he's not.
Besides everything you guys have mentioned, I think the thing I was most surprised by was his changeup. Like, it's not a pitch I remember him relying on heavily in the past, but it got movement. It had guys chasing low and, you know, low and out of the zone. That was a pretty effective weapon for him.
La cambia.
Yeah, his chase rates yesterday are pretty wild. His sweeper, and he only threw 4 of them, but they chased on 75% of them. His changeup, to Brian's point, they chased on half of them. He threw 8. But his knuckle curve, they chased on 46% of them. So, like, they're just chasing after all of his stuff. That's how good the movement was. They had no idea where the ball was going.
There you go.
Last night's game.
Yeah. It was, there's a bunch of different, like, analytical things that, like, send out their pitcher cards and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Last year, Lance McCullers didn't have, like, quality stuff on any of his pitches other than his sweeper, but he threw it 100% of the time. So, like, you know, wasn't fooling anybody. I think there was at least 2, maybe 3 of the pitch, and he's thrown a lot of pitches now that were graded as plus pitches in terms of the stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you get that, you know, you get hit, if you get the command, which again, it's going to need to be more than just one start before we're like buying in on full-time Lance McCullers again. But the signs are promising. We were looking at the signs in spring training saying, okay, this looks a little bit better. This looks a little bit better. And then he does this yesterday. It's like, oh, okay. It's a lot better. And here's another thing. Context matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we understand context matters. If he would have done this against, like, the Corpus Christi Hooks, not as impressive. This is the lineup. Now, they're much better at home than they are on the road. Mm-hmm. I can't explain why with Alex Cora they're much better at home than they are on the road. But this is a potent lineup. Like, this is a good Red Sox lineup that has a bunch of dudes in this lineup, and he did it against a potent lineup. So, yeah, I tip my cap to Lance. Is he going to do this all year? Probably not.
Probably not.
But do you feel a little bit more confident that he could be an everyday, not everyday, but every turn through the rotation starter for you? Looks pretty promising.
Yes. It definitely, through one time through the rotation of who gets bumped out when they eventually go to 6 and then back down to 5, Lance McCullers is not anywhere near that conversation right now.
Yep.
When Spencer Arrigetti eventually becomes part of the Astros rotation, because that feels inevitable for me at some point this season.
Yeah, but if it's 6 man, you don't have to bump anybody out.
But I think they'll go back to 5.
Arrigetti's got to do. He's got
would
some proving to do.
Would that make the starting rotation untenable?
Yeah.
They're going to have to bump somebody
might
out.
Make your bullpen
very
untenable.
No, but untenable. You're going to have to, I mean, he's going to have to beat somebody out, though. Arrigetti.
Well, yeah, I think he can do that. Christian Javier.
I think there's another guy who threw his name into the hat.
Who's that?
Ryan Weiss is kind of nasty.
Hmm.
Ryan Weiss is kind of nasty. I kind of like a little Ryan Weiss.
I do, too. I just kind of view him as a bullpen guy at this point.
Why? Chandler Rome asked him, Art, don't you want to be a starter forever? As he was trying to start some some drama.
Just because the way they – I think the way they handled Eric Geddy, keeping him in the minors to stay stretched out as a starter and to keep stretched out, makes me feel like he's the guy that ends up in the rotation when it comes time.
No, I think, yeah. I mean, Espada said that.
Yeah.
Like, Espada was asked, do you think Eric Geddy's the sixth guy whenever you go to six man? He was like, that's an easy one, yes. But I think the rotation on March 31st is going to look a lot different than June 31st.
Sure. Probably dramatically different, knowing the Astros' luck.
There's only 30 days in June.
Yeah, well, knowing the Astros' luck.
713-780-ESP. We'll take your thoughts on McCullers. Let's talk about the offense, too. D'Amico Ryans, no sound from D'Amico because it's inaudible, but D'Amico quotes. The Twitch loves whenever we have D'Amico quotes. So because we love the Twitch, we'll give them some D'Amico quotes a little bit later. We'll check in on the NFL. We haven't really checked in on the NFL lately. We'll check in on the NFL, see what's going on with the league. And then cash them or trash them a little bit later as well. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. There's many ways you can watch us if you want to do something crazy. But you can watch us on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975.
A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
It's unfortunate, but it is true. They wouldn't be getting Amanda, that's for sure. West is not a fat guy living in his mother's basement. West actually does it. West is a sports guy.
Really?
He played football at, like, Montana, and he does that podcast with that tall blonde that's on Caitlin Clark's team. What's her name? Sophie?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. Sophie Cutting. Hey. She's a woman.
See, now I know who you're talking about.
Sophie Cunningham. You know Sophie Cunningham?
Yeah, I do.
You know she does that podcast with that, like, mustache-faced blonde guy? That's West Wilson.
And he's the home wrecker?
They were divorced.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's hooking up with his friend's ex-wife and his ex-girlfriend's best friend.
Gotcha.
They hard launched their relationship today.
You're obsessed.
On IG. It's all everybody's talking about.
It's all people are talking about.
Everybody's talking about it. Sports Illustrated is talking about it.
Is that accurate?
Bleacher Report is talking. Page Six is talking about it. Mm-hmm. But you can watch us on Twitch. I don't know how I went from Twitch to Bravo, but I did. ESPN Houston on YouTube, TikTok, ESPN 97.5, Twitter, ESPN 97.5 there. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Tournament back. Well, it comes back on Saturday, the final week of the tournament. The upsets are inevitable. The buzzer beaters have been awesome. And Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all tournament long. You can make picks and win money right now in Texas. And it's so easy playing on Underdog. So easy. Just pick whether your favorite players are go higher or lower on a bunch of different stats. You can do points, assists, blocks, steals, rebounds, fantasy points, combine some of those stats around. They got it all on Underdog. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash. How about this one? Yaxel Lindenborg, 16.5 points, higher or lower there. Or would you rather 27.5 points plus rebounds plus assists? Higher or lower there? You know ball, go prove it. Koa Pete, 14.5 points, 23.5 points, rebounds, assists. You like the higher or lower there? Andre Stojakovic, 12.5 points, higher or lower there? Caravan, 12.5 points. Keaton Wagler, 17.5. You guys know ball. You ladies know ball. Go prove it right now on the Underdog app. Download the Underdog app right now. Use promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, and you're going to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-MY-RESET or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Junkie says dominant LMJ start, Altuve dongs, and yada, 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 A-plus game.
Bad hands.
713. Are you kidding me, bad hands? I just dribbled that little ball through my entire library.
I know you did. Give me that. Don't pull that air check.
That was a phenomenal. You can't give me bad hand. I literally dribbled like this for 65 seconds.
You did.
It probably, because I'm a blabber, it probably was like 75, 80 seconds.
So mommy's wrist over?
No, but it is feeling a lot better. Good. I think the little itty-bitty dribbles like this are helping my athleticism.
Glad I could help.
Did you?
I give him
yeah,
the
he
ball.
Did. He did. Okay. He did. All right. He did. He did.
Don't question me.
He did. He helped me. You know what?
Like, I feel like you're trying to
now,
take his clout a little
now,
bit
to be fair, whenever he handed it to me, he didn't know the diagnosis of the injury. It could have been a stress fracture and did more damage. He didn't know that.
Good point.
But
reckless.
Because it was a mommy's wrist and not multiple stress fractures, as I thought it was.
Multiple stress fractures.
He did help me.
Yeah.
He did help me.
You thought it was more than one fracture?
No, I'm just teasing. I didn't think it was a stress fracture, but I wanted to double check before I started like doing... You know, trying to test it a little bit.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Responsible.
I feel like that would be a
That's
bad
more
thing
responsible
do.
For yourself than the Astros were last year.
Well, I'm very responsible. That's why they gave me the Ownwell read. And if you need to adult well, Ownwell.com, tell them Branham sent you.
I mean, they also gave it to Granato.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer, though.
He is.
That's a lead company. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're kind of making a different argument
How
right
could
now.
You try to put down Granato from
I'm
your
not.
Seat?
You're saying, what was the word you used for yourself?
Adulting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
you don't
know.
Think Granato's adulted well
sure
in life? You
Granato's
kidding me?
Adulted better than all of us.
He's in the Hall of Fame. He gets off at work at 10 and then hits the golf courses in L.A.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Like,
that guy's
a much
my
different
hero.
Way than I said it.
He's my hero, you Granato
almost,
is.
You were claiming, like, you're bumping your chest on your level of maturity. That's why they gave it to me. I'm responsible.
I mean, I was being sarcastic.
I know. I know, and I'm running with it.
Your answer to my sarcasm is your own sarcasm, which is probably the best way to handle
there,
it.
There, we solved it.
713-780 ESPN. Lance living at 93-94 with that command with his breaking stuff is exactly what the Astros need. Co-sign that. Junkie says make LMJ the
Junkie?
Ace. What does that look like? What is making him the ace look like? You just appoint him that? You just give him like a crown? Like this is like the little like baseball lingo that
jersey.
I don't really understand. And I know we talk about it. I know we're like, yeah, he's the ace of the staff. He's the guy. He's the dude. But like, one trip to the rotation, what is making him the ace really do? And I know he's probably facetious, and I understand it's sarcastic and all of that, but what is that? Like, hey, Lance, you're now our number one, but you're still going to pitch every fifth day. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I think even just the setting the rotation at the start of the season gets way looked into too much.
Oh, yes.
Like, I mean, half the time, guys who start on opening day just get it because they've been on the team the longest.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even – or they're just the most veteran players on the roster. They're not the most deserving guys. It means nothing. Like, the only way to quantify that would be if the Astros have a big series coming out of the All-Star break and you give the ball to Lance McCullers in game one, or at least until the postseason.
Yeah.
Like, but until the postseason, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And even then, like,
maybe after the All-Star break. Like,
yeah.
But it's, yeah, it doesn't really. And I know it's facetious and we're nitpicking a sarcastic text. We get that. A lot of people are saying extend him. We might be the only show in the entire city that said before the season, that brought up the subject before the season, what would Lance have to do in order for you to offer him an extension? We literally discussed that before the season got underway. And I think our answer to that was like, you know, if he pitches well, what was it, like 140 innings, 130, 140 innings, a sub 4 ERA, 4.5 ERA?
Yeah, that's about right.
We said that he has to hit those thresholds, and even then it's probably a one-year deal, maybe a one-year deal with options.
Club options.
Club options or mutual options. Yeah. Like, hey, you hit 140 innings with a 3.5 ERA, then, you know, invest or whatever.
Yeah, strong start.
Well, it's
for Lance McCullers to get that next contract. Contract to your Lance McCullers?
Probably premature, but I do think he would give you a discount.
Oh, yeah.
He's already done it once.
Well, I don't...
Didn't turn out to be a discount, but he already did it once.
Even if he has a great year this year, his arm concerns make him a huge red flag for every team in Major League Baseball of any kind of contract. Like, all he would get is short-term deals.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'd imagine he'd want to stay here in Houston unless, go home to, was it Tampa for him, I think?
Well, I think Houston's now home, but he was originally from Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I wore a shirt today.
I didn't even notice that.
I found it.
I don't know why it's red.
I don't know.
Why is it Houston Astros, Lance McCullers, bury me in the H, a red shirt?
I think it was like the one that Apollo had left when they were selling them.
Okay, so he had multiple colors?
Yeah, they had a bunch of colors that they had.
Yeah, red doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
Right?
No. No, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense.
That shirt you're wearing is an oxymoron.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Like, hey, Joe, these aren't selling. Here you go.
Well, I bought it.
Okay, even worse. Did you get it at a discounted rate?
I don't remember. It was like six years
ago. Didn't.
It was, how long ago? When did he say that? Was that 2022? When he said bury me in the H?
Junkie says arm concerns. He has a brand new arm. It's valid. There's a lot of old pieces in there, but there are some new pieces as well.
For sure.
He's had a little work done, Lance McCullers. He's a little enhanced, maybe. A
little bit.
No, but I mean, great to see. Obviously, we're having fun with the extension stuff. Although I do think it is in play. I really do think it's in, not anytime soon, and it wouldn't be at the end of the season, during the season. This would be an after the season. Did Lance McCullers do enough to warrant being back on this team next year? Because it's not going to be anything longer than a one-year deal at you know, potentially options, team options, vesting options, things like that. I do think it is in the realm of possibility. I really do. I thought that 2 weeks ago whenever we broached the subject.
Yeah. It's on the table. It just has to it's going to be heavily scrutinized no matter what. More than any other contract the Astros give out.
I don't know. I don't know that to be true. If Lance hits the parameters that we discussed, 130, 140 innings, he's got an ERA somewhere between 3.5 and 4, and the Astros signed him to a $15 million one-year deal, do you think that'd be heavily scrutinized?
I think by some people.
I don't.
Because it still feels like, looking at social media last night, if the group that's all in on McCullers, and then the group that still is very much like the people from your show, scorned lover.
What?
They're the scorned lovers. They're scared of Lance McCullers.
Well, some of them are scorned.
Yes.
The other two are living their best life.
Yes.
Yeah. With zero remorse.
Zero remorse.
With zero remorse.
I was
going
to try to see now if I could find a way to talk about it every segment.
It's a great show. It's one of the best on TV.
I'll have to watch.
I think they win Emmys, that show does, on occasion.
That can't be true.
That's not. It's not. I don't think anything on that.
That's a good BS flag.
Wins. Yeah. You didn't throw it, though. He didn't throw the BS flag.
It was verbal.
He kind of just skipped it. What were we talking about? Lance? Yeah. I mean, Swabby thinks he's going to finish top five Cy Young for the second year in a row.
I saw him say that again.
He said that a year ago.
Justified?
He's doubling. I think he's got take lock a little bit.
Yeah.
I know we're all happy about that start, but what would Lance have to do in order to be a top five Cy Young guy? We're talking about 180 innings. We're talking about a sub 3 ERA. Does Lance have that in the bag? Of course not. Of course not. We're all happy with that start yesterday. Phenomenal start. He has never in his life finished top three in Cy Young voting.
But Jeremy, if he pitches like that every single night.
I saw your little thing there. Because what Brian is referring to is last year whenever he only had two good starts last year. One was against the A's.
And the Dodgers.
And one was against the Dodgers. I can't remember which start it was, but Lance dealt against one of those guys. And then the next day, people are like, well, if Lance pitches like this for the rest of the year, the Astros have the best trio in baseball. Hunter Brown, Fromber, and this Lance McCullers. Well, guys, you know, Lance probably not going to have those starts every single night. I know that baseball is kind of foreign to you, but they're not going to have those starts every single night. But I do think this year is a little bit more real. I do think it's a little more tangible. I do think that yesterday's version of Lance McCullers is a guy that can be that guy more than he was last year. Now, there are always going to be injury concerns with Lance because he does have a bad body. Now, you know, will he have another start like this? Time will tell. I do think it's in play more. Like last year, every single start felt like it was the dam was about to break, right?
Yeah, it was a chore.
Like he was hanging by a thread from the moment he delivered the first pitch.
Except for maybe the A's start.
Yeah, and then the Dodgers start started off slow.
The Dodgers, I think he had to work out some trouble against the Dodgers.
And then the offense went nuts.
Right.
And it was like 10-0 in the third. And then Lance, like, okay, well, I got nothing to lose now. Here I go. And then the Dodgers probably quit because it's 10-0. And all of a sudden, there's 12 Dodgers that have been punched out. Last year, every single start, maybe with the exception of Oakland, but yes, even the Dodger game, it felt like you were pulling teeth and it was about the dam was about to break. Yesterday, he was pitching that game in a rocking chair.
Yeah, it was
easy.
He
was in cruise control.
Yeah.
Like, it was a totally different Lance McCullers.
It was very different than anything we've ever seen. Because it's all, you mentioned in the first segment, like his pitch count's always high. Even the best version of Lance McCullers in the past typically gets you, what, like 5 innings with 90 pitches. He never goes deep into games. So I don't know if he ever gets – I don't know if he gets the 7 innings again this season. But if he can get you 6 occasionally, that's huge for this bullpen to help them if he can give you any semblance of this going forward. But it was – I mean, it was way more than I think any of us would have projected last night.
Like, yeah.
I bet you, like, the over-under on strikeouts was, like, 3.5, 4.5 for last night's game, and he blew past.
That probably should have been our sweat of the day. Actually, that game was
not
on. We try to do games that are on whenever we're on for our sweat of the day. If you haven't heard, we're on the We're on the first half Congo line, money line, first half Congo.
Feel great about it.
And we're on the full-time draw. Can we get that game on the real TV?
You're on the first half Congo line?
No, I didn't do that on purpose. Did I say that?
Yeah.
You did.
I don't know if that was on purpose or
is
not.
Is that where it came from?
I have no idea.
Is that what we're saying?
It's conga, right? It's a type of music.
Yeah, it's not the same, right?
No,
is
not
that,
congo.
Is that what it is, a type of music? I'm not familiar with the origin of
conga versus conga congo. Line.
Is it conga, not congo?
It's conga.
Yeah, it's conga.
It's from...
That's just female congo, congoians.
Right, exactly.
It's from Cuba.
Really? The conga's from Cuba?
That's what the Google AI tells me.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Google AI, that was like 50-50.
Yeah, it's not the best... It's not really not very good. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's talk about this Astros offense. I got a radical idea with Yordan, too, if you're interested. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN, 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
All right, well, you can win $500 this weekend at Twin Peaks just for witnessing the madness there. Whether you had a tournament where you're locked in and everyone that you wanted to be in the Final Four is there or got totally blown up, it's always still a great time to watch the games at Twin Peaks. You can grab that 29-degree Miller Lite or Coors Light on draft, post up at Twin Peaks, get the good food that they've got there for you, and just enjoy the games. They got wall-to-wall TVs. It's always fun when you got the beer and the food flowing. Plus, you got this new cigar lounge as well at the Shenandoah location. Look, this is your last chance to watch the tournament at Twin Peaks this weekend. So get on out there. Enjoy that 29-degree Miller Lite or Coors Light draft. Post up at Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD. 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-3776. Ryan had a really long-winded way of saying, yeah, you're right, Jeremy. Jamaica is part of CONCACAF.
Cool. There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
I know football. Junior Broncos wants us to call our show Branham and Bartman Joe. That's a pretty good name. Yeah, it's a pretty good name because you're a Bartman because you're a Cubs dude. Your mic is not on.
Sorry,
you just pulled a Bartman on the air.
Yeah, he says I look like him.
I don't see that.
I don't see it either. But
he was a little thinner.
That's true.
He's a little like. I mean, you've gotten it. You've way better shape, than we were like a year ago.
It's true.
I need to go on the Joe diet. I need a trainer cam. I didn't mind trainer
That's
cam.
That's such an inside reference.
An old reference.
But he had like a very slim face. Like,
yeah, he
I
was
feel
a
like
little
he,
guy.
He wasn't eating enough Italian beefs.
Well, I think he probably weighed like $140.
Wasn't eating enough Chicago dogs. Wasn't even eating enough Pequods.
No. He also ran and hide from the world after that.
He did. Which I felt bad for him. I almost feel as bad for him as I do Sierra. Tough day for Sierra.
Three segments now in a row.
You know, I like a Chicago dog. Totally like...
I don't like the tomato slice.
See, actually, I didn't think I was going to like a Chicago dog because I don't really like tomato. I don't like a warm tomato.
Yeah. You
know? I like my tomatoes cold. Like the whole, like, what is it? Like the little green bean? Is it a green bean? Like a little sprout?
Like a hot pepper?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there not a green bean on it? Like one, like, long green bean?
It depends on where you go. Sometimes they put celery on it.
Celery?
Celery salt.
Oh, no, that's
what celery salt.
Oh, yeah, but say,
which I'm
like
a huge,
celery.
I don't like celery, but I like celery salt.
Sure.
I think celery salt on a buffalo wing is next level. Love some celery salt on a chicken wing. I'm pretty sure there's like a bean on it, Joe. How do you not know this?
It's a pepper.
It's an all beef frankfurter on a poppy seed bun dragged through the garden with a specific set of toppings, yellow mustard, chopped white onion, bright green sweet pickle relish. That must be what I'm thinking of. Tomato slices or wedges. No, a dill pickle spear.
You mean the whole pickle?
Pepper.
Okay.
No, I think I'm thinking of the pepper, actually. I'm thinking of the pepper.
You described the pepper, yeah.
And a dash of celery salt with ketchup strictly forbidden. I didn't think I was going to like this, and I really enjoyed it.
They're fine.
I really enjoyed the Chicago dog.
Yeah, they're not my go-to.
Okay.
They're fine.
Well, that's probably why they kicked you out of the city.
I don't like tomatoes. And it feels weird asking for a Chicago dog and then asking them to take things off.
Like, if you go to Chicago and ask for a Chicago dog and tell no tomato, are they going to, like, look at you a certain way?
Not as bad as if you ask for ketchup, but yes.
Yeah, right. I did say no onion. I don't like onion. I don't like raw onion. I like cooked onion. I don't like raw onion. So I was like, no onion.
Because I think I would like it minus the tomato slices.
That's not surprising that you would like it. No, I figured you would like a Chicago dog.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Chicago dogs are awesome, and I didn't think I was going to like them. I'm a big fan. I can get down with Chicago dog. All right, Astros offense yesterday. You know, Joe, you know that the Astros have the third most runs in all of baseball?
That's very good.
Do you know that the Astros, now, this is a little bit skewed. Like, let's tell the whole story, because you got some Astro aggregators that are just hitting the sort by run category, and the Astros do have the most runs in the American League, 30. No other American League team has 30, but the Astros have played one more game than some teams in the American League. Like, they lead the American Leagues in runs per game, all right, with 30, but they're not the leader in runs per game.
Gotcha.
The Rays have scored 6.5 runs. Now, has Tampa played at home? Well, they're playing at the Trop this year, so that's irrelevant. They went to the Trop. They're not playing at George Steinbrenner Field anymore.
Yeah, I don't remember who they played in their first series either.
So anyways, the Rays have the lead in runs per game, but the Astros are second. Mm-hmm. And the Astros have more runs than anybody else in the American League. You got double Dong Altuve. You got Yordan Alvarez that, again, is scraping the rafters. Bryce Matthews is hitting it off the gas pump. Yeah. They're taking walks. They're fouling off pitches. Cintron and Snicker were bums.
Big time bums.
They were bums.
Big time. The lineup looks, it's kind of like McCullers.
And again, you know, it's only 5 games in.
I know, but it's,
so let's pump the brakes
so
here.
So far, it's after the first 2 games, it's everything you've hoped for.
Right, McCullers first 2 games are not good.
Like Alvarez looks good, Altuve looks good, Bryce Matthews is putting good swings out there.
Christian Walker looks good.
Yeah, Walker looks young.
Yeah.
Like, on the fountain of youth.
Lopez has been good.
He has impressed me. And I have like every reason not to want Lopez to do good, because I was like, I didn't like that trade. But Lopez is doing well. Now, Sanchez is doing pretty good too, with some batting coaches. He's got some hitting coaches.
I saw those stats you put out today.
He's producing a little bit. But it's still very, very early in the season. But look, if Lopez gives you in the same ballpark as Jesus Sanchez, because he's cheap and because he has multiple years of club control, is a win of a trade. Like, Lopez doesn't have to equal Sanchez for that to be a win. Lopez just has to be in the ballpark of Sanchez for that to be a win. So don't get like my tweet twisted. Like, this wasn't like, oh, what a bad trade, because I have been impressed with Lopez. And you're right, like, the offenses look good. Now, why I'm more impressed coming off of last night's game than the previous 2 games is the context here. Because yesterday it was like, hey, look, we like what the Astros have done in this last 2 games, really game and a half, because you were kind of quiet in game 3 too. It took a little while to get the offense going, but we'll count the whole game. You were facing bad pitching. You were facing the Angels number 3, number 4 starter, some of their, you know, lower leverage reliever guys, and you pounded them. Yesterday was a bigger litmus test, because Ranger Suarez is a much better pitcher than anything you got in game 3 and game 4 against the Angels. So the fact they did it against a Boston team that was starting their big free agent starting pitcher acquisition, that meant way more to me than games 3 and game 4 of the Angels series.
100%. They only struck out 6 times last night. Only 2 walks in the game, but the patience is still there. They're just, the team collectively right now is taking better at bats. The approach does look different this year so far through 5 games with the Astros than last year looked like. It seems like what they preached last year with this new hitting coach, I don't know if it's just that or it's just a better start to the season, but it seems to be translating, because everyone had a hit in last night's game as well. Everyone had a hit that started. So you got contributions from everybody,
yeah,
and they're all having pretty solid plate appearance. You got a nice little challenge win from Jose Altuve yesterday in ABS, the Astros' first of the season. So I guess I can't permanently ban him from it like I wanted to yesterday.
Altuve, like, but what a game Altuve had.
I saw like a bunch of people tweeting about this last night. I still can't believe he doesn't have a 5-hit game.
I almost feel as bad for Altuve not having a 5-hit game than I feel for Sierra. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
almost.
How many 4-hit games do you have now? Like 50?
Something like
that. Like, how do you have that many and not, like, sneak your way into a 5-hit game? Didn't Dubon get 5-hit game last year? It's like that 225
Dubon.
Slappy had a 5-hit game, and Jose Altuve, one of the greatest offensive second basemen in the history of the game, who's also a free swinger. Like, Altuve's not, I mean, I know he's been more patient this year, but Jose Altuve, for the majority of his career, has been a free swinger. Like, you would think he would have, a guy with that many hits would have a 5-hit game. And I think they had a graphic last year that he's like the second most hits in the history of baseball without a 5-hit game.
That's crazy.
Can't remember who number one was. Was it Mutual? Was it Stan Musial, maybe? He has a cycle, too.
Yeah, he has a cycle. It's weird for a guy to of that caliber to have a cycle but not a five-hit game.
Yeah.
It feels weird, at least. Like, you'd be more likely to, you know, four singles and a double than you'd get, have the, what you need for a cycle.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
But Jordan's the other story of this one, too. As we mentioned at the very top of the show, he's on a heater to start the year, too.
I think two things. I don't know how much he's paying attention to Jeff Passan. I really don't think that Jeff Passan is a blip in the radar for Jordan. But I do think that Jordan has something to prove this season. Because I've had this thought forever that Jordan can flip the switch. Like, there's some guys that, like, okay, like, they're going to get it going whenever you need them to get it going. Or they're ticked off. And when they're ready to go, they'll go. And then they kind of coast at other times. Like, I think that's why Jordan comes alive in the playoffs. It's why Jordan has these clutch moments. It's why when Jordan's ticked off, Jordan, like, produces better. I think Jordan has a big chip on his shoulder to prove a lot of the naysayers that are griping and moaning about his injuries, which is a fair gripe and a moan, don't get me wrong, but he's got a lot of proven wrong to do, I feel like.
He does. My other thought on that was between Jeff Passan saying that Jordan looks sluggish and Chandler admitting on his podcast this week that it was other scouts and people telling him that the Astros situation was untenable.
That's funny.
Is that people don't really know what's going on within the Astros organization. Because that's what it seems like to me. Like, I feel like we're getting these big statements of, oh, he's sluggish.
They're going to trade Isak.
Yeah. And
which no. I do think they were shopping him, though.
And they were. But you know, this one, Jordan, if this is sluggish, what's he going to look like in 30 games?
I mean, Jordan does look kind of sluggish, though. Like, just the way he moves, like, which I'm okay with. You're a big fella and need you for 150.
We talked about it yesterday. He can take his time in the outfield.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't have to run hard ever.
I want him to look sluggish.
Yeah. When he's not sluggish, it's when he's got the bat in his hands. You know what? That really matters.
You know what? I prefer sluggish over like a Joey Loperfido hustling double. Like, do you want Jordan Alvarez trying to leg out a hustling double? Like, he hits a little single into right center and he notices the right fielder is like lazily going at the ball. Do you want to see Jordan try to take the extra 90 feet? Of course not. Of course not. I want Jordan to look lazy. I want Jordan to look sluggish. That's the Jordan that I want, because that Jordan's the guy who stays healthy. But whenever he stays healthy, he's pretty healthy. We all know that.
Yeah.
When Jordan is healthy, he's pretty healthy.
He's pretty healthy.
Do you want my radical idea with Jordan?
Yes.
All right, when we come back, 713-780-3776. Your thoughts, too. We got some texters that want to say some baseball stuff. We're getting closer to Congo and Jamaica.
Yeah, I'll see if we can get on TV.
It's coming up soon. We're 14 minutes away from the dropping of the ball between Congo and Jamaica. It's a World Cup qualifier?
Play-in game?
I don't even care what it is. Playing game. I just need Congo to win in the first half and then Jamaica to level it for the second half.
Yeah, it's a play-in game.
There you go. World Cup play. Glenn's going to be so proud of us. Does Glenn come in today?
No. No, he's Wednesday, Thursday this week.
So I'll see Glenn tomorrow. I'm going to break down the Congo-Jamaica match.
You'll see him Thursday.
Maybe I'll just tweet him. Hey, you watching this Congo-Jamaica match, Glenn? You think Glenn bets on soccer?
He doesn't strike me as a gambler.
He doesn't strike me as a gambler. But he strikes me as a soccer insider.
Facts.
I can't get over how much of a child Matt LaFleur looks like on TV right now.
It was weird.
It's the haircut. Right? Yeah, it's the haircut.
He looks like a child.
It's a weird segue there.
I was staring at it.
The hairline's receding pretty good.
It's receding, and it's like he's 22.
He's got like a spiked hair. Maybe he was in a roller coaster, and his hair just like got, you know,
just like blown up.
Just got blown backwards. It kind of looks like he just got off a ride, doesn't it?
I wouldn't know what that's like.
So. Battery just stuck his finger in an electrical cycle, and it just shocked straight up.
Yeah, he does.
You ever done that, Brian?
No, of course not.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Houston, don't miss a moment. Secure your seats with Houston Rockets season ticket memberships right now, and you can get access to this season's playoffs plus the entire 2026-27 season. As a Forever Red member, you'll get the best seats at the best prices, along with exclusive benefits all year long. Some of those benefits, they're pretty great. 25% off concessions and retail at Toyota Center, 10% off suite rentals, best seat location. You get that playoff ticket priority, so when the Rockets are in the big games, you're not going to be missing them at all. Feel the energy and be part of every play. It takes all of us all season long. Get started today at rockets.com/radio. That's rockets.com/radio.
ESPN
97.5.
Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
It's probably the song that West was singing to Amanda Bitula as he stole her away from Kyle, her ex-husband. Might be what Sierra's listening to right now as she sits on the curb of the streets of New York.
Oh, next to all the trash? That's terrible.
There's pictures of her sitting on the streets of New York today. I don't know if it's like an old picture and they're like using it today, but I've literally seen that on my timeline.
Hey, give everyone a hug over there.
That would be very helpful. Cal should fly to New York.
Just give her a hug.
And give her a huge embrace.
I mean, they do send these jerseys to random people I've never heard of before, so.
Yeah.
It happened over the weekend. People were upset about that.
Oh, I saw that.
That Lacey guy or whatever. Yeah. People were upset.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. I don't care about that stuff, though. Like, oh, why did he get a jersey? So what? Like, he's got an audience. That's why. Like, are you that foolish to not to realize that? Might not be your audience. Might not be what you like. Mm-hmm. But he's got an audience.
He's got one.
This is kind of what I felt when Lance McCullers was dealing yesterday. Like, this is the Lance, and this is the soundtrack of me emotionally watching vintage Lance McCullers.
You can fall in love with Lance again?
I've always been in love with Lance. Now I mock him and ridicule him and tell him how much I don't appreciate him getting hurt. Mm-hmm. But that's just love.
You may be on a break, but you tough still love him.
That's terms of endearment, yeah. You know? Is every single moment of your marriage blissful?
Probably not.
No. Yeah. This right here is what I was thinking. Lance McCullers punched out Yoshida. This was me right now. This was in my head as he punched out Yoshida to give a loud roar.
He had a lot of those reactions. He had a last lot of them. Night, yeah.
He was feeling himself. Was you could tell he felt good last night. Because he always had, like, he always, when he would throw his best stuff, say something to himself walking off the mound.
There's the one popular gift.
I used it today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It's a good gift.
It was bleeping nasty.
It's a really good gift.
Yeah, it is. It's so good.
I like Lance.
I think everyone likes Lance.
Well, I mean, some of the text line, they talk about how much he likes to eat corn dogs and, like, corn on the cob and stuff like that. But you get frustrated with the injuries, but you wouldn't get frustrated with the injuries if it was like JP France. Like, JP France loses 14 months with like a shoulder deal. Oh, well, it's JP France. You know? The reason that you feel so emotional and upset about Lance, because Lance at his best was really, really good, and Lance had some heroic moments. It's the same thing with Yordan. You get frustrated with the Yordan injuries because he's freaking Yordan Alvarez. Where if it was like Jason Lane, oh, well. If it was Preston Tucker, I'm glad it was him and not Yordan. You know what I mean? Like, the reason you feel the emotion when players get hurt is because you know how good the player is. 100%. If it was some jabroni nobody, you wouldn't care. If John Granato got hoarse and couldn't do a day of radio, everybody would lose their collective minds. If it was me, they would celebrate.
Yeah.
That's kind of the emotion here.
For sure. I found the game, by the way. It'll be the next game.
This looks like Italy, Joe.
It'll be the next game.
That doesn't look like anybody from Congo or Jamaica.
It'll be the next game.
I can tell that none of those guys are Jamaican.
You got a good scouting eye.
None of those guys are Jamaican.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How?
What do you mean, how?
I don't know.
What do you mean? Do you think they're Jamaican?
No.
How do you not think they're Jamaican?
I can read the letters.
Yeah, I'm really.
Top of the screen.
I can't wait, though. Oh, this is an extra time here. I wonder if they're going to have PKs.
Oh, they're going to cut into our game?
It might be. They might have to. It might be on FS2.
Put it on ESPN News.
What are you guys talking about? Well, we have a sweat of the day every day. And today we're sweating Congo Jamaica World Cup qualifier. We're on the Congoans in the first half, and then we're on a full time draw. So why are y'all doing that? Don't know.
We need ideas to get through the day.
It was some brilliant ideas somebody had. So here's my radical idea with Yordan. I'm not even here yet. Just saying, I'm not here yet. And yesterday was a little different because Cora wasn't as careful with Yordan as the new manager of the Angels, Kurt Suzuki, was with Yordan. Like, Kurt Suzuki, Yordan, like, if it looked like there was a runner on base, Yordan first base.
Yeah.
If there was even a thought of a runner on base, Yordan first base. Like, they were not going to pitch to Yordan. And Yordan still got to him a couple times. But you could tell his thought process, Yordan's not going to beat us. Isak's going to have to beat us. Correa's going to have to beat us. Walker, Smith, blah, 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 blah. They're going to have to beat us. We're not losing to Yordan Alvarez. Yesterday was a little different. Cora challenged him a little bit more. So it's more of a let's see how it goes. But if it gets to this point, and just playing out the scenario here, Joe, if it gets to the point where every manager is Kurt Suzuki-ing Yordan Alvarez, where like anytime there's a leverage situation, anytime that there's a runners on base, Yordan, you're at first base. Barry Bonds treatment, basically. Mm-hmm. Yordan, you're at first. Yordan, you go to first. We're not messing with you. Somebody else is going to have to beat us. If it gets to the point where no one's pitching to him at all, leadoff hitter. Move him up to the leadoff spot.
How much do you think that
maximize
changes?
Maximize his plate appearances.
So just give him more plate appearances, maybe more chances to where he comes up clean. Well, you're more likely to pitch to him.
This is just maximizing the amount of chances he has to bat. And people would be like, well, you can't do that. And look, I'm a Yordan cleanup guy. Like, I've been on record. I prefer Yordan in the cleanup spot. I think he is a natural clear the table, not a table setter. But if he doesn't get pitches in those situations, then what use is he in those spots anyways if he's never going to get the opportunity? So at that point, you might as well maximize his PAs. Now, again, let's see how the season goes. I'm not here yet. Just if it gets to the spot where he's getting the Barry Bonds treatment, you can't just leave him there. Even the two hole is like, pretty high. Like Barry Bonds always bat third. Anytime there's a runner on base, intentional walk, and he should have been hitting leadoff. Dusty Baker should have done that. But if it gets to that situation, you might as well just move him up a spot. And the counterpoints be like, well, no, you need to have runners on base for Yordan. Well, they're walking him when there's runners on base. Mm-hmm. So you're not even gaining that advantage. Because I am a Yordan bat cleanup high. Well, why do you want cleanup? You're giving away PAs. Because I'd rather him be up in more high leverage situations and sacrifice some PAs when there's not anybody on base. That's why I think he's more of a natural cleanup man than he's like a two-hole hitter. Now, you can't go wrong with Yordan anywhere. Let's be real on that. But if he's not getting any pitches to hit in any leverage situations, you might as well just move him all the way up to the top.
My biggest pushback here is I don't think it's that radical, honestly. I mean, look, who are the three best hitters in baseball, arguably, when they're fully healthy?
Yordan, Judge.
And Ohtani.
Ohtani.
And Ohtani bats first, and Judge bats second.
He's hit leadoff at times, too.
So, like, we've seen Judge lead off, and Ohtani's leading off for the Dodgers right now. So, like, I think it makes perfect sense, frankly. That if he's not getting the chances because they're just going to free pass him to first base or severely pitch around him, then, yeah, maximize what he's going to get. And, yeah, and, okay, would a Yordan Alvarez home run in the bottom of the first, would it be better if there was two guys on? Sure, but if also if it's just a leadoff homer to start the game, it's still great. You're still starting the game 1-0, you're rattling the pitcher where Pena comes up behind him. That was going to be my follow-up. Would Pena just bat second?
Probably.
Just move everything down a peg?
Like another counter-argument to this, and I think it's a good counter-argument, is that you kind of lose the advantage of getting somebody to, like, pitches to hit. Like, Altuve had the four-hit game yesterday, double dong, and a lot of people were like, well, see, that's what Yordan effect does. And there is some truth to that. It's not the entire reason. Like, Altuve didn't hit two home runs because he's hitting in front of Yordan. But does you get more pitches to hit? Yeah, you do. So, like, that would be the counterpoint to it as well. But if it gets to a point where he's never getting looks in leverage situations, you might as well just move him all the way up to the top.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Maximize the PAs. Not there yet. Not anywhere close to that. And look, Cora challenged him more than Suzuki did. So if more managers are like Cora, then we're not talking about this at all. But if more managers like Suzuki, just an idea. And look, you probably need to be reeling too. You're not going to do it whenever your offense is like clicking.
Yeah, you're not changing it right now.
No, this is like whenever you're in a summer slump and Yordan's not getting anything to hit. And it's like, okay, let's see what this looks like for a day.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Really, to me, it's you do whatever's the best for the team. If that means Yordan bats first or he bats third, it's what you go with. But I think it's that point you said there is the most important one. It's just this is you do that change when things aren't going well. And it doesn't even have to be permanent. It can be. But just change it up at some point if you need to. But I don't think it's radical at all. I'm totally open to that idea if you're not batting leadoff or at least second.
Did you guys know Glenn's niece is married to Jeter? Yeah.
Did.
We did know that. Love when Yordan is healthy. He's healthy. Profound speak from J-Bone Branham. That's an inside baseball reference. There was a beat writer on his podcast that says, if you eliminate the years where Yordan's been hurt, he's actually pretty healthy. That wasn't me. That was an inside joke. Walker's not looking like Abreu. Praise emoji. That shade of the green relish in the Chicago dog does not exist in nature. Good old chili and cheese. Good chili and cheese dog. There's nothing wrong with that. We all like that.
Just messy.
Sometimes you got to mix it up. If Lance wants to sign a contract for the vet minimum, I'd give him however many years he wants. He's not going to sign for the vet minimum. We were standing on the fence watching Lance pitch. He was doing good. Four innings comes around, and you see a glimpse of what we had back in the day. He racked up some strikeouts, and I was super proud to see him have a great opening at home. Wish him luck. Yep, we do. We wish him luck. All right, D'Amico Ryans, they're at the NFL. They're at the NFL meetings. Is that what the thing's called?
Owner meetings.
Owner meetings.
I think so.
Because there's a pictures of all the head coaches that look jacked. There's a picture of all the general managers, and Nick Casario is the only one on the edge of the seat. Like,
is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. All the other general managers like slumped in their chair, like leaning back, relaxing. Nick Casario is on the edge of his seat, like like a choir boy, ready to go for the day.
I didn't see the GM photo.
He had did he have perfect posture?
Perfect posture.
He seems like a perfect posture guy.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Very perfect much so. Posture. Everybody else is like a slob. Kind of like you imagine how we look when we talk on the radio. Mm-hmm. Nick Caserio is like, you know, arms perfectly what? Like perfectly shoulder length, hand
shoulders
over hand.
Back straight.
Chest puffed out on the edge of the seat. Look at me and my straight back. Straightest back of every general manager in the NFL.
Can robots bend over like the other GMs? Or?
I don't know. Posture was elite. Elite. Anyways, D'Amico had some quotes, though. Some telling quotes from D'Amico Ryans. We'll see. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.